My name is Elliot Margioli.
This is Dr. Aaron Judkins.
This is Trey Smith.
This is Ryan Peterson.
This is Dr. Judd Burton.
This is Timothy Albrino.
This is Derek Gilbert, and you're listening to The Dig Bible Podcast.
Glad you made it. Come along for the ride as we search for hidden truth, explore historical context, and dig into God's Word to help us understand the past, present, and future of this supernatural world. This is Steve, along with Justin and Ben, and you are listening to the Dig Bible Podcast.
What's going on, all my local guys and gals and long distance pals?
We're back.
It never gets old. It never gets old. You guys doing all right?
Doing good.
Doing good. Hanging out with dogs, man.
I see it.
He's scratching at my feet, so I was like, we'll let him say hey.
He wants some attention, too. But anybody, actually, whose turn is it to pray? I think it might be Justin's turn to pray today.
It is Justin. That's right.
I think it's to him.
Yeah, we can do that. You ready to get rolling in?
Why don't we jump right in and get going?
All right. Dear kind and gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for today. Thank you for all the many blessings that you've given us. Just thank you for this time together in fellowship and to dive into your word and to talk about the current events and things and how we are to handle them as Christians and how we put our faith and trust in you and know that the battle has already been won. But we thank you for today's guest, all of his experiences, and how you've led him to come forward and talk about his experiences and how to have us better prepared for the coming deceptions and the end times. Father, we just pray that the Holy Ghost wrap around us for and guide our thoughts and our words, and they be edifying to you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, I am extremely excited today. Me and Justin actually got to meet this individual at a conference just back at the Hear the Watchman conference in Dallas a couple months ago. So we're pretty excited about this. He's an end time scholar, very, very a good writer, author, speaker, host of Frontline, president of Battle Ready Ministries, and was in the military for 32 years in the Army. And thank you for your service, sir. This is Colonel David Giamona.
Steve, everybody, it's really great to be with you. I'm really looking forward to what the Lord has for us on the show today.
Let me tell you something. It's always something crazy. So buckle your seatbelt because it's always fun. But we talked to you at that conference, and we listened to you. We sat down. I actually got a couple of your books. Ben has one of them. Wanted to make sure Ben, in his military background, he's not going to read anything unless it says military on it. So we wanted to make sure. So I had you sign that one for him, and I have the new one here, and right. It's Your Mission in God's Army. Now, this book, it's with you and Troy Anderson as your co-writer, right. And you guys have done a few books together between this, the Military Guide for Armageddon that Ben just showed you, and then the Military Guide for Disarming Deception, which Justin kind of alluded into that, probably unknowingly alluded into that, but it was excellent because it's very true. Now, I love the way that you write in here because you bring – it's such a spiritual battle that we're in, and the church is missing the point in a lot of areas that they don't understand how supernatural this war is. You know, it's that whole Ephesians 6:12, we fight not against flesh and blood, but against evil powers, you know, principalities in dark places. It's these things that we're fighting against. And if we're not equipped for that, then we don't even know who we're fighting. So I'm going to hand the floor off to you. I want you to explain a little bit in your opinion here. What is our role in God's army? Just a broad stroke, and then we'll break it down a little bit.
Right. Well, thank you for having me on the show. And, you know, we wrote all those books for one reason, really one reason only, because the Lord back in 2018 appeared to me in a cloud in Kerrville, Texas, up in the sky. I was at the Kerrville Prayer Garden. And Max Greiner is the sculptor there. And in the sky was a lion, and it spoke to me, and it said, I am the Lion of the tribe of Judah. I want you to prepare the church and warn the world. That was the vision that God gave me back in 2018 when I was exiting the army and beginning my new orders. And here's the thing I want to share with everybody. When you're a follower of Christ, and I mean a follower, I don't mean a churchgoer. I don't mean, yeah, I know about Jesus. I mean a true disciple of the living God. And there really isn't that many of us because Jesus himself said, the way is narrow and few find the path to eternal life. And broad goes the way to everybody else. So I'm not expecting, you know, huge crowds to know Jesus because that's really not biblical. And I can unpack that some more. So with all of that, you know, in the last 6 years or so, we've been going around the country, literally on radio and TV around the world, preparing the church, preparing those people who are followers of Christ to be ready for the end times. And that's our mission. It's plain and simple. But I want to share with everybody that God always gives us an order. We call it in the military, you know, an operational order or an assignment. I was the assignments officer at the Pentagon for 4 years. And so we who are believers hear the voice of the shepherd, and he's the one that's leading us and guiding us, and he's the one that gives us the directive, and we're all part of the army. And if you tell me, well, Colonel, I've never heard the voice of the Lord, I don't know what it is, I've never got an assignment, then you're not a follower of Jesus Christ. Plain and simple, I'm just going to lay the truth out. The followers of Jesus know the voice of the Lord. I'll just stop right there and just shoot that out to all of you right now.
I like that. it's the truth, right? We all have a calling. We all have spiritual gifts that God's put in our, and as you put it in your book, in our DNA, right? We have spiritual gifts in our DNA that we're meant to use to God's glory as part of his army, as part of what our calling is on this earth. And each one of us is a little different. We each have a different calling. We're each supposed to reach out to different people, different places. But if you're stagnant in your life, if you're stagnant in your belief, if you're stagnant in your faith, and you are just doing the 9-to-5 thing, coming home and hanging out on the weekends, you're missing the point.
Yeah. I'm counseling somebody right now, actually started, and the Lord just this week actually gives me what we call a op order or an operational order vocally. He said, I want you to really start discipling people one-on-one. So I have a special person that the Lord, you know, has chosen. I won't reveal who that is, but I'm doing one-on-one discipleship with them. And he said for years and years and years, he was a so-called a nominative or name-only Christian, but he doesn't even know what it is to be a follower of Christ. So we started at the very beginning, and I'm trying to think of the word he said that he was, not a confirmed Christian, but a non-conformed Christian, really. And I'll think of the word in a moment that exactly is pretty good. But what I shared with him, I said, what I want you to do is start reading the word and do everything it tells you to do. Compromise. Yeah. Compromise. He said he was a compromised Christian. And I think there's a lot of compromised Christians out there, and that we've got to get away from that. And we've got to get into the roll call of what Jesus told Peter. He said, what are the first thing that Peter said to Peter as he was out there on the Sea of Galilee? He said, drop everything and come and follow me. And that's what we ought to be doing every moment, every day of our lives, is following Jesus Christ. And we can unpack that in a lot of ways. You know, as I said, the DNA, God has created all, each of us individuals, and he's created the universe, and he names all the stars. He knows exactly where I live. He knows exactly what I'm supposed to do. And that's true for every believer. I'll stop right there.
You don't have to stop. You're on fire. I love it. I guess we have that. So I guess your book, you kind of go through it, but how does someone find that role? How, if they don't have that connection, what's the first steps that someone takes? You're talking about the fact you're discipling someone right now.
Yeah.
And on top of that, I guess for me, the way that and really when we started this show, because we really founded this show on the supernatural worldview that, we read Michael Heiser's book, The Unseen Realm, and it blew me away.
Yeah.
And that Justin showed that to me. My dad showed that to me. Ben doesn't read, but let me tell you something.
Doesn't. He can't. Ain't that he can't.
He can read.
Yeah, Audible, son. Audible.
But that book was so good, it changed my whole understanding of the war that we're in.
Yeah.
So what is somebody who does, I mean, that's, I think the hard part with when we talk about the church, I'm not necessarily talking about the people, you know, the church is the people, but right. When we talk about the establishment,
right.
That the establishment is not preparing people in a supernatural space.
Yeah. They don't know anything about the supernatural in the established churches. And we've done a great disservice to people over the years for many, many years. We've told people that if you'll raise your hand, you come forward and pray a prayer. Lord, I'm sorry for my sins and forgive me. And I'm going to be a follower of you. I'm going to, you know, I want you to come into my life. We told them that's Christianity. That's not Christianity. In fact, you cannot find anywhere in the scripture where Jesus said that. Jesus never told people, well, if you raise your hand, come forward and you know, speak that, you know, you're a believer in Jesus. Now, the Bible says in Romans chapter 10, I believe, of Romans, of Apostle Paul says, if you believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth that Jesus is the Lord, you will be saved. But, you know, what we have done is a great disservice to people, because we've told them, you come to church, sit down every week, listen to a sermon, go home, and basically, you're a follower of Christ. You're a good person. Maybe you can pass the dish around and collect money, or you can sing in the choir and all that. That doesn't make you a Christian. None of that stuff. Going to church does not make you a follower of Jesus Christ. Is it helpful? Yes. Is it required? Yes. But just because the mouse is in the cookie jar doesn't make the mouse a cookie. So there you go.
That's true. Yep.
It goes against, too, in one book I had read that totally changed how I looked at, you know, image bearing and things like that, talked about the Ten Commandments, and it really focused on not taking the Lord's name in vain. And it said, you know, we were brought up to believe that this is, you know, cursing, you know, saying God's name with a four-letter swear word afterward. And, they were like, no, this is, you know, talking about image bearing.
That's right.
And taking the name in vain. What does that mean? When you say that you are a follower of Jesus Christ, you are waving the banner of his kingdom. So if you are waving the banner of his kingdom and you're acting just like everybody else, committing sins and doing all these things, then you've made that banner worthless, and you have taken his name in vain. You've taken it to no avail. There's been no change in your life whatsoever.
Absolutely. And
to me, that was just really, really paradigm shifting, that to know that we are image bearers, and when we proclaim our faith, we are also name bearers. And that's what it keeps talking about in the Bible, where it says, the name above all names. And what is it? Psalms, where it says a good name is to be chosen over precious stones and jewels and gold. It ain't saying that Justin's name is better than a Ben name. Ben names stink. No, it's talking about reputation. The reputation of Christ is above and beyond reproach. And when you proclaim to be a follower of him, you need to live up to that reputation the best that you can.
Yeah, absolutely. I will tell you this. People ask me, and this is not being judgmental, because Jesus said, you'll know them by their fruit. But I get around people and they proclaim to be Christians, but they never talk about Christ. They'll talk about football. They'll talk about sports. They'll talk about money, career, women, whatever it is. But they're not saying anything about Jesus. Those aren't followers of Christ. I'm sorry. You bear no fruit. If you're really excited about something, and think of anything, if you're really excited about football or hunting, which I am, all those things, but you're never talking about the Lord, or it's very rare that you talk about the Lord, there's something seriously wrong with your commitment, your fellowship with the Lord. That's why the Lord said, and I just look through that scripture today, he said, many will come in that day and say, Lord, Lord, didn't I not perform miracles in your name? Didn't I not do this? Didn't I not do that? And what does the Lord tell them? Depart from me. I never knew you. We could do all kinds of things for the Lord in his name, but we don't have a fellowship with Jesus Christ. We don't have a relationship. We're not hearing the voice of the Lord. I know I'm preaching right now, but I've been on fire all day, and you guys are just getting the brunt of it tonight. So
that's all right.
Yeah.
So that's true, though.
The way I want to look at this in the way that, you know, Ben saw action. You know, he was in Iraq. He saw action. He was on a mortar team. And, you know, we see a physical battle. We see a physical landscape where, you know, this is, you know, whatever you want to say, this is the good side. This is the bad side. This is we're good on this side. We're, you know, we're the U.S. military stepping in, and this is the terrorist organizations that we're fighting against. Right. So we have a good and a bad. We see the landscape. How does that play out? How do you see that in a spiritual form? Like, how do you see that in this?
We're definitely in spiritual warfare. That's our first book, The Military Guide to Armageddon. That's where we is our foundational premise that there's no compromise. There's no in between. You're either on the side of God and light, or you're on the side of Satan and darkness. And there is no in between. There's no neutral ground in this fight. If you think you're in neutral ground, then you're really on the side of the enemy. Because a great story, I was in Bagram, Afghanistan, and I saw these prisoners. They were right next door to our headquarters. I was there visiting troops and getting ready to go out to some FOBs, forward operating bases and things like that. But I saw these guys chained together. There's about 10 or 12 of them. And every morning they come out and they go to chow, and the MPs would, and these were prisoners of war. They only had a handful of prisoner of wars. And I asked one of the infantry commanders, said, hey, sir, how can we have so few prisoners? He goes, Chaplain, the only thing we can do is kill them. He says, they don't want to be captured. And the only thing we can do is take their life and take them out, because that's really the only course left to us. And so in this battle, there are no prisoners. You know, and what our job really is to go into the no man's land, to go into the dark side and grab these people. They're under the sway and power of Satan, and release them in the name of Jesus and bring them into the light. That's the only way to do it. And if we sugarcoat that, guys, and say, well, all you have to do is come forward on a Sunday, raise your hand, and, you know, say this little prayer, and you're going to be saved for eternity, we're doing a great disservice, because that's not the gospel. We're lying to these people. We've got to give them, Jesus said to do what? Go out and make converts? No. He said, go out and make disciples. And what is a disciple? As I said before, it's a follower of Jesus Christ. And we're in that battle, and the war is on. It's been on since time immemorial, before Adam and Eve fell. Satan fell first, and, you know, we're talking about all the demonic activity and all the spiritual darkness in this present age. It all stems from one thing. Satan knows his time is limited. Satan knows that he's got to take as many as he can with them to hell, and he's blinded the world, the leaders, and everybody else to the true power, true of the darkness, and the true power of the light of Jesus Christ.
That's the greatest trick the devil ever pulled, was making the world think he didn't exist. And I love that quote. I've said that multiple times. It's one of my favorite quotes because it's so true. If you don't think there's a good side and a bad side, it's, you're already losing. You have right. to, you have to know where you're standing.
Mm-hmm. And
go ahead.
And with that, with the same military conversation we're having in Iraq, which I never went to Afghanistan, so I can't contest to that, but you would even have the terrorists hiding amongst the civilians, like at a marketplace and this and that. And us being Christians, we have to be wary of the devil, demons hiding amongst the sheep, amongst fellow Christians, stirring trouble and, you know, just hiding out, waiting for the time to strike. So you gotta do your due diligence and be wary of, no, I wouldn't say of everybody, but kinda in that aspect of things. You know, test the spirits and everything else.
Yeah, Ben, you're exactly right. I heard an old Baptist preacher. This guy was spirit filled, 1950s. And I can talk for an hour just about this particular subject. But he was saying, if you want to see demonic activity, this is a Baptist preacher in the 50s. He said, just come to my church. These demons are hanging all over the people in this congregation. And so if you think about it in military terms, if you're the enemy, who are you going to target? You're not going to target your own people. You already got them. You're not going to target the Lord Jesus Christ because, you know, you can't do that. He's God.
Untouchable. Yeah.
Yeah. You're going to target the people of God and the Christians and the so-called church. And he's done a masterful job. In fact, Eric Metaxas and I last year were talking. He wrote a book called The Letter to the American Church, where he's saying that the current state of the, quote, church is much like the church was in Nazi Germany in the 1930s, where they embraced Adolf Hitler, they worshiped Adolf Hitler, and only 3,000 of 12,000 pastors opposed Adolf Hitler. So the vast majority, if you want to be in the vast majority, go right ahead. I don't want to be in the majority. I'm sick and tired of that. I want to be in the small minority, the remnant of Jesus Christ, because the rest of the church is embracing the cancel culture, Black Lives Matter, communism, the left, you name it. They're embracing it.
They are.
Ben, we've that's
already seen that. And
boom.
Boom.
Yeah, that's the mic drop moment right there. I like that.
I mean, we've already seen it in the United Methodist Church, they've done went that way. Catholics, the Pope's already went that way. And me and Travis at church, we was talking yesterday, and he's like, hey, the Baptists, they're usually 10 years behind the Methodists. So it won't be long. And it's which Revelation says it, you know, everybody's going to have a great delusion.
So. Right. Yeah, that's exactly right. In fact, a friend of mine who is a senior leader in the Southern Baptist Convention, this was a couple of years ago, told me the Southern Baptist Convention is going woke, and so is Church of God, and not soon others who we thought were stalwart conservatives are no longer the case. In fact, I'm saying to people all around the world, the day of the denomination is over. It's the day of the actual remnant of the church. And I get this, Ben, you alluded to this, but in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, Paul says this, there are two things that will happen before the coming of the Lord. And one of them is the great apostasy. Never in my life, I would even believe the things that are happening in the church right now. Not all churches, not every, but the great majority, they're falling away. And the second thing that's going to happen is the rise of the revelation, the revealing of the Antichrist, the apostasy and the revealing of the Antichrist, which I believe is soon to happen given the geopolitical situation we're now in the world.
Oh, for sure. And like I was saying about the terrorists hiding amongst the sheep, amongst the civilians, that's what's happening in these churches. They're letting people come in, you know, oh, they're just, there's Bobby, you know, and they're getting in and they get in decision-making positions. And next thing you know, their church, you know, they're all going woke and everything else. They're just, that demon's getting in there, hiding and then showing himself once the end of it, and then destruction's already there. It's exactly. already done for.
Well, there's nothing new under the sun.
Go ahead.
I mean, that's the same thing he's been doing forever. And without, you know, throwing mud or calling names, you three gentlemen know what I'm talking about. There was a charismatic gentleman that come amongst our church and was telling people behind closed doors that Jesus Christ was the Antichrist, and telling people, you know, well, what did it say? The Antichrist would stand in the temple and proclaim to be God. Jesus did that. He would perform many signs and wonders. He did that. And just named off all this stuff and was, you know, saying that if in fact Jesus Christ was the Antichrist, then he is definitely leading many astray. And he's we worship Jesus and not the Father. He steals worship from God. And that's a prime example. And even like the early church fathers, they had the same deal with the Gnostics, the wolves in sheep's clothing that snuck in the door and told them, hey, instead of eating this cracker and this grape juice, come to my house after church. We'll have a real Eucharist and we'll drink this hypnotic wine and I'll let you experience God. They're deceiving you and lying to you. You know, that's what Satan does. He plants people in the flock to poison the whole
crop. Deceive. Yep.
From within.
Absolutely. The deception is rampant. It takes all kinds of different forms. And Jesus himself said, you know, we have to be careful. Even the elect, he said, if those days weren't shortened, nobody would survive. And he said, because of the sake of the elect are those, you know, who we are followers of Jesus going into heaven with him. So we have to tread very carefully. And think about this as far as the Antichrist is concerned. You know, he's going to do everything that Jesus did. And millions of churchgoers, millions of them will follow the Antichrist because he's going to come up with a solution for the Middle East here really soon. He's going to come up with world peace. He's going to come up with prosperity. He's going to come up. He's going to be raised from the dead himself, and he's going to do miracles in front of people. He's a forfeit or a counterfeit of all that Jesus did. So that's why he is the Antichrist. So it's going to be interesting in the days to come how that rears its head. But, you know, the world is coming together as a one world government. The Middle East is exploding right now, and they have to find out an answer to this whole thing, or we're going to be in a literal war, World III. We're on the verge of that now. So all these things are happening as we're speaking. That's why the Lord is telling us, prepare the church. Warn the world. And I've been able to do that in so many different places. And, you know, God has just given me great forums to tell people about this.
That's awesome. That's powerful. Now, I think the biggest thing that we're talking about right now is that deception. You do have that book about disarming deception. We see this wool being pulled over our eyes, as Ben said. We're in a world that lacks discernment. We're in a world where people are like you said, everybody's moving towards that wokeism. You know, Satan is like, he's a phenomenal military commander in his own right, the divide and conquer. I mean, he's way smarter than we are. He's been around a lot longer. So we have to put our faith in Jesus. We have to put our faith in God to get through this. Now, going further, you brought up the Middle East. I wanted you to kind of elaborate on what's going on in Israel a little bit and kind of how you see this playing into what the biblical prophecy says.
Yeah, when you say a little bit, that's not possible.
Yeah, okay, then go a lot of bit.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm actually a regular on Newsmax commentary almost every week talking about the Middle East and what's going on over there, and in a lot of different shows as well. And what I've been telling people is this, from a biblical perspective, go back and look at the book of Daniel. Because in the book of Daniel, there's a passage there that talks about the prince of the power of Persia being withstanding the angel trying to get to Daniel. Daniel's praying, angel is trying to get to him, and the prince of the power of Persia withstood him for 21 days. Who is this prince of the power of Persia? Well, Persia, if people don't realize, is today's Iran. Mm-hmm. That demonic prince, that power, that entity that withstood the host of angels that was trying to get to Daniel, he's still there, and he's still ruling Persia, Iran. And his job, but in the supernatural, is to stir up the government, not the people. He didn't care about the people. The prince of the powers of these countries are always stirring up the people that are in power that can do something. He wants to destroy Israel. And the reason this prince in Iran, Turkey, the following country, all around the Middle East, they want to destroy Israel for one reason, to prevent the Messiah from coming back, from the Jesus. They believe that if Israel is destroyed, then all these biblical prophecies cannot be fulfilled. This is Satan's tactic. This is his battle plan. Destroy Israel. And let me tell you something further about Iran. The president of Iran, who's just been killed, but the Ayatollah, all of these entities over there, they want one thing. They want to destroy Israel, and they want to start World War III, so they will bring back the Islamic Messiah. That's what is required of them, according to their scriptures, to bring back the Mahdi. The Mahdi. Yeah. And so what they're doing is trying to destroy Israel at the same time, bring all the world into war. And, you know, you don't hear about this on the 6 o'clock news or, you know, most news stations, because they know nothing about this. But that's the reason why we're seeing what's going on right now. This is the reason Hitler, by the way, tried to destroy the Jews. 6 million he killed, because Satan wants to wipe the Jews out. One little further tidbit, I'll go a little deep with this for a second here. What people don't realize in the book of Revelation chapter 2, you know, John talks about these seven churches in the book of Revelation. Well, one of the churches says in Pergamon, the church of Pergamon says, I know where you live, where Satan's throne is. Well, scholars have dug up back in the 1930s, the throne of Satan, which is the altar of Zeus, and that whole thing. Guess what? It was dug up and replicated and brought to Berlin, where Hitler now had possession of it, because he was in Berlin and was being, you know, directed by the prince of power of Persia from Berlin to destroy this. And guess what? Just read about this in the news a couple of days ago. Turkey is now fighting and wants to extradite that altar of Zeus back to Turkey. And when that happens, I believe you'll see Turkey get involved, and maybe the Antichrist being raised out of Islam from there. That's a whole nother conjecture, but you wanted me to talk about it. I just gave you a little bit.
That's getting into our episode that we're talking about, Gog and Magog.
Yeah.
Because right now Turkey's on the fence, and Turkey has to join Gog and Magog in order for all that to happen. Because Iran's already, you know, they're already trading weapons with Russia. And so we're just waiting on Turkey, really.
And Ben,
well, Turkey, kind of that leader died in that crash. That really worried me, because from my standpoint would be the new sheriff in town mentality of this new leader. You get a new leader come in, they want to come in with a big bang. They want to show everybody that they've
been. I'm the boss. Yep.
He couldn't finish the job. I'm going to show you how strong I am, and I'm going to get it done.
I wouldn't be too worried about that, because it's just part of God's plan. And so
It's going to happen.
It's going to happen. Yeah. And, you're exactly right, guys. Turkey, by the way, hates Israel already. They want to bring in the Ottoman Empire. By the way, that's their goal, to be the head, the regional hegemon, we call it, the world leader out of Middle East. Turkey has its sights on the restored Ottoman Empire. Read Joel Richardson if you want more about that. And take over Israel. So we have the makings here geopolitically. You got Russia, you got Iran, you got Turkey, other players in the Middle East, North Africa, all getting ready to make an invasion into Israel. And we're into Ezekiel 38 and 39.
Yep.
Whew. Yeah, you're right. It's hard to just break that down into, I mean, that it is some perspective actually I've not heard before. I think that's really cool. It kind of broke me a little bit up here. I'm trying to figure that out, but
sorry.
No, I love it. I love it. That's what this is really about. So now I do have one interesting, you know, we talked about Gog and Magog and the different countries, and we went through me and Ben did a whole thing on that where we went through and broke down, well, really Ben did it, let's be honest. I tell you what.
That's the only thing I studied for.
But he broke down
the religious beliefs and everything. And most of the countries that are considered Christian are all mostly Catholic. And if we've already discussed already how the Catholic has turned woke.
Oh,
in, you know.
Yeah, Ben, so, you know. Yeah, you're exactly. I mean, if I can join in real quick on the Catholic side, I have I'm not a friend, but someone has been on my show several times, Father Altman. He's a Catholic priest who's been persecuted by the church. He says he's saying that the Pope, I don't believe this, but his thing is Pope's the Antichrist. I mean, he is as far from being a Catholic and a Christian as far as you can get. And he's bringing homosexuals in the church. He's doing all kinds of stuff that will be, you know, considered heresy just a few years ago.
Yeah, in that I think I said it in the podcast, I'm not sure, but if there is going to be a organization to bring peace over the whole world, the Catholic Church and the Pope would at this moment have the most appealing voice. Mm-hmm. You know, oh, it's the Pope. You know, everybody knows who the Pope is. So it's almost like you're saying about that guy. I mean, it could be. Not saying that he is, but I mean, if the devil's going to use, he's already mocking and doing, you know, trying to play Jesus, the Antichrist, you know. So why not have a church that he's already corrupted, and then everybody looks, oh, it's they're Catholic. Okay. Oh, yeah, they're godly people. They're Catholics. I mean, that's just the normal view of a Catholic. And you know, all these other ungodly things you hear going on and everything else without getting too descriptive. But
don't forget one thing. The Antichrist has a false prophet in this trilogy. We call him the Antichrist, the false prophet, and the red dragon, Satan. That false prophet could possibly be the Pope that brings the world's original religions together. In fact, the Pope's already done that on the ziggurat at Urd in Iraq. I was there in Iraq at the ziggurat of Urd, where Abraham was called by Jesus to go to another country and, you know, to establish Israel. Back then, Ur was the melting pot of all kinds of religions. And so the Pope, just in the last few years, had a service on top of the ziggurat at Ur with Buddhists, Catholics, Christians, everybody, and bringing one world religion together. He's already done that. So that's a forerunner of the false prophet. And so I know we're talking about some broad brushstroke categories here, but it is interesting.
It could happen.
I see Steve's over there. He's like mesmerized. He says, what are you talking about,
Carl? No, I want you to keep going. I'm loving this. This is something that I find fascinating.
Somebody because get this man a shovel.
I love it. That's right. Get him a shovel. But I love looking into the you know, we look back at, you know, most of my reading when I'm going through the Bible, I'm reading, you know, whatever. I try to go through and read a different book here and there, and it just kind of whatever I feel God's leading me to read. So I go through and I read something different in the Bible, and I go through, I'm reading Jeremiah, or I'm reading, right now I'm actually going through Isaiah, and I see a lot of things that maybe foretell. I think some of that stuff was very, there's almost a double-edged sword. They're kind of like the King of Tyre situation, where you see him talking about a physical person, but also right. a supernatural. Right. So I see a lot of that in Isaiah right now, some things that could be pointing to the future, even though it was talking about a different scenario at that time. But my thing is, when we get into this kind of stuff, I don't know enough about the world and what's happening right now. I don't know. I know that I have to keep my faith in Jesus. I know there's a deception coming, and this is where maybe I'm not as equipped as I need to be. But understanding where this deception is coming from, understanding what's going to happen, and as we talked about before, the Gog and Magog, you don't hear the U.S. in the end times prophecy.
No, it's not. It is not. End times prophecy is zeroed in on one thing and one thing only, Israel. Jerusalem, really, is the center of the universe, according to the Jews, and is actually, in fact, the center of the universe. Because when Christ comes back, where is he coming to? He ain't coming to Kansas City. He ain't coming to New York or, you know, Pentagon. He's coming to Mount of Olives in Jerusalem, which I've stood on. And he's going to split it in two, and he's going to march right in to and set up his kingdom from there. The United States is not in any of the scriptural end times prophecies, although people try to force feed it. It's not, because we play a secondary or a third role in the, you know, the end times. Don't even know if the United States will exist, you know, when the coming of the Lord comes. So many things happening right now. You know, I hope that's not true, but it's all pointed to one thing, and it always has been. Actually, it's very centered on Mount Moriah. Mount Moriah is where Abraham was told to sacrifice his son Isaac. Do you remember that story? That's Mount Moriah. That's the same mountain that Jesus was crucified on in Jerusalem. So instead of sacrificing Isaac, Jesus was sacrificed there. And that's the same mountain that Christ is coming back to. It's right now where the Temple Mount is located, and where there's a Islamic temple there, and the Dome of the Rock is there. And that's where they're going to rebuild the temple of Jesus, or of Jerusalem, right there. And that's a whole nother story, but that's part of the end times. The temple will be rebuilt. I really believe that. And soon. I've been over there, and they really have everything ready to rebuild that temple. Just, I believe when the Antichrist comes onto power, he's going to make a deal with the Jews, and they're going to rebuild that temple. So all of that's about to happen here in the future.
Now, do you think the you know, I've been hearing a lot more, and I know that they've tried this several times in the past 25 years, the red heifers. Right. They'd get them over there and they'd find some blemish. And, you know, and supposedly as of right now, the ones that they have, and they're getting close to that 4-year mark, are still pure from everything that I've read. Now, do you believe they'll go ahead with that kind of ritual at that time? Or is that something that they're going to save for? Because I think they have to be around that age, if I'm correct. They have to be at that 4-year rate age.
They have to sacrifice those red heifers to get the ash, to even get the permission to take the step forward to build it. So that has to happen.
That's correct. When that's going to happen, how it's going to happen, when it's going to take place, I can't tell you for sure. But all the things that are in place right now, it could happen. It could happen very soon. You know, I've seen the golden candlesticks that they have ready for the temple. I've seen all the utensils. The priests have been trained. There's a lot of stuff. And just a few years ago, when no one believed the temple would be rebuilt, even the Knesset, you know, that ruling body of Jerusalem was dead set against it. It's not dead set against it now. Things have changed rapidly since October the 7th. So we will see. Keep your eyes open on Israel. because it is the center of the universe and what's going to be happening in Bible prophecy.
Like I said, I'm loving this because it's taken my mind down some different paths. But I guess going a little further, we talked a little bit about that, the deception. Well, I want you to kind of dive into a little bit about – well, Justin, what? No, Justin, you go ahead.
Well, see, as you were talking, that's one thing that I'm ill-prepared for because I used to be really big into politics and really big into news, stayed on top of it. And honestly, this last election cycle, when what happened, I got so angry and so frustrated that I was like, I know how this story ends. I don't need a play-by-play because it's just going to make me a miserable soul. So I honestly just turned the news off. The only kind of news that I get is like just in passing, like through social media and things like that. So I'm kind of lost. I mean, I knew about the Iranian leader passing away just through a Facebook scroll. So with that, I'm pretty lost. But one thing I would like to pick your mind on, Colonel, is the ones that, are followers of the way in a dying church or climate, from a military, I guess, allegory or perspective, would you suggest like militia groups for what I mean by that is to find other believers that are following the way and passionate about Christ and forming small communities within their active church and taking more active roles and figuring out the moves they need to be making for the kingdom. I guess that's just me throwing out a postulation there, but like, what would you say to the followers of the way in this climate of just church decay?
Yeah, and first of all, I would say this, and I do address this all the time. If you live in a community where there are other churches to choose from, do that. Go to a church that's not woke. Go to a church that's preaching the full gospel of Jesus Christ from, Genesis to Revelation, and training people. If you're going to a church that's not talking about any of the stuff we're talking about, leave the church immediately and go somewhere else if you can, if it's possible. Now, there are small entities out there, small towns where it may not be possible. But then there are communities like this on Zoom where you can join, groups that are like-minded. And I see that popping up everywhere. Mike Kerr in Idaho, who is the leader of the conference, that I just went to, is doing that on Zoom. In fact, tonight he's, on Thursday nights, he has a Zoom podcast where people are tuning into that. And it's going to be more and more difficult, I think, to find strong believers and strong churches. They're there. There are even some mega churches that are very, very powerful, still not gone woke. And so there's a whole smattering of churches out there that are still strong, still staying strong and standing strong in the fight. And I'm attending one myself here locally, but they're getting harder and harder to find for sure. So I don't know if that answers your question, but if I were in a church, and I was in a church that went woke, I left and found something that was appropriate for what I'm, I believe and what I'm talking about.
And yeah, that's just what I was getting at was if you are in the situation, because a lot of people, they get hurt by the church, or they feel like they're not getting fed, and they wash their hands and walk away. And they're like, well, I can study my Bible and praise God at home. I don't need a building to go to, which in fact, in my opinion, I mean, that is true, but I think the community, when I say the church, the community,
yeah,
is a tool that if used correctly is to aid you in your daily life, because you have fellowship, you have someone to help pick you up when you're down, and then you are there to help pick somebody else up when they're down, and to encourage and keep each other, hold each other accountable, you know, and things like that, that are very important that you can't get on your own. Just like we're doing here. I mean, this is another good example. I really encourage people, just if you've been burnt by people, that's people, that ain't God.
Let me address that. Number one, it's not biblical to stay by yourself. God has saved us in a community. So if you want to be a follower of Christ, you cannot be an individual unless there's absolutely nobody around you, because you're in prison or something else. But if you're a follower of Christ, what I'm telling people is, if you want to be a true follower, then you're going to be part of the community, part of the church, because Christ created. He said, wherever two or three are gathered, I'm going to be there. So you cannot just decide willy-nilly, well, I'm just going to go it alone. You're not going to. In fact, what happens when you go it alone? You look at the animal kingdom or in war, you'll get picked off pretty easily. You'll get into all kinds of trouble and all kinds of diversion. And Satan will take you out if you're going it alone. Just like wolves are always looking for the weakest animal out there that's isolated, they'll take that animal down every time.
Now, I'm sorry. This has been an awesome conversation so far. Like I said, I get to the point where I forget I'm even part of it. I'm just listening. So I get a little flustered here when all of a sudden, you know, I'm called upon. But what I do want to ask you, and it's something we've been asking everybody that's come on the show, and what I want to ask you is, if you were able and had time to tell everybody one thing that they need to hear right now, what does the world need to hear right now? What do they need to know? That is, if you had a chance to say one thing, what do they need to hear?
Yeah, I actually did have that chance at Christmas, because Newsmax called me and said I was on one of their big shows on Christmas Day, and they asked me, what does Christmas mean to you, Colonel? So I got to tell everybody around the world, millions of people, what Christmas means and what Christianity means and what to be a follower means. And I actually got to make this the last question, because I have to roll myself, but I'm going to end it with this. And maybe we can reconnect, reschedule sometime down the road again. But here's what I would say. The most important thing is your eternal soul. There is nothing more important than where you're going to spend eternity. And what I am telling people with all the passion and power I can, I don't want you to spend eternity in hell. There is a real hell. I don't care what people say, what scholars come up with. There is an eternal hell that was made for the devil and his angels. And you will end up in that eternal flame if you don't repent of your sins and come to Jesus and become a follower of the way. And so, you know, as Paul says in Romans 10, if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is the Lord, you will be saved. That's the beginning point of salvation. Then you have to become a follower, pray every day, read the word every day, get with other believers every day who are real, true followers of the way. And that's what I would say here in my last moment here on the show.
Amen.
Well, do you want to tell everybody where they can find your books real quick before you go?
Yes, you can find our books anywhere books are sold. Amazon is the best place. Books a Million, anywhere it is. And if you want to follow me on Twitter, just type in Giamona David. There's only one of me. If you want to follow me, if you want to go to my website, davidjgiamona.com is my website. And I'm on Facebook just under my name too. So anywhere on social media, Instagram, I'm there all the time. You can follow me. You can FaceTime me. Anything you want to do, and get in touch, and I'll be there. So thanks, guys, for having me on the show today. I hope we can do this again soon.
We will. Thanks again, Colonel.
God bless.
Keep digging.
Thanks for listening to the Dig Bible Podcast. All you dirty fingernail theologians, we appreciate you. Be sure to check out our YouTube, our Instagram, our Facebook, and our Twitter accounts. Be sure to like, comment, and subscribe. And wherever you listen to us, whether it's Spotify, Apple Podcasts, be sure to give us a rating. That really helps us jump up so other people can find us. Keep digging.
Hey guys, this is Steve from the Dig Bible Podcast. I really hope you guys are enjoying the content, but also the sound quality. It's drastically improved since I handed that duty over to the Handcrafted Audio. If you've enjoyed the quality of the show and have any audio or editing needs, reach out to Jason at thehandcraftedaudio@gmail.com. And as always, keep digging.